Well, bless the Lord. God is amazing and good. We have been on a journey ourselves the last number of years. I think the last time I was here, we were pastoring in Chicago. And we were there for about almost 14 years. And God took us, began to speak to us and deal with us about planting a new church back in our home where we're from. We were saved. A lot of churches were closing in the area. And God just began to deal with us, and we prayed about it and prepared for about a year, and then we just stepped out, and we were empty nesters, so we thought we'd do something crazy, and we did it, and the Lord has been so good. We planned a church, so we went with just doing a Saturday night service there called Encounter, and the goal, of course, was to reach a core group of people and then teach them our culture and launch the church. And we were able to do that. People started coming to Christ. It was incredible, the good things God was doing. And then we were able to buy a big old Catholic church built in 1963. It seats about 800 people. And it was just a miracle what God did, how he got us the building, incredible. Big parking lot, big property right in the main road, thoroughway. Just amazing how God blessed us with that building. He's a miracle-working God, and he's going to be doing the same here more and more and more, and I think we're going to see it, an increase of this as the days approach of the coming of the Lord. I want to share with you tonight, and I want to say also hi to our folk at home. Love you guys all back there. I know a number of them are watching, and I want to say hi to my sweet love of my life, my darling wife, Rosette. I know she's watching, and all the rest of you, God bless you. We're so glad you're there. Anyway, God is good, and we thank him for his goodness. We're going to be looking at Exodus 16 and verse 10. And I'm going to be talking to you tonight about enter the cloud. I don't know if you have put any thought or study into clouds in the Bible and the Word of God, but it's pretty interesting, especially the cloud of the glory of God. And so tonight is your invitation. Probably you've had more than one, but tonight an invitation to you to enter the cloud. Enter the cloud. Exodus 16 and 10. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here with this precious church family. Thank you for your awesome presence that's here. Thank you for Pastor Jamie and Dar, Noah and Bailey and all of the staff that's here. We pray a great blessing and strengthening upon them. And that, Lord, we thank you for the great things you have in store. Lord, build up their faith and strengthen them in every way. And God will give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the anointing of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Exodus 16 and 10, and it says, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud." It's interesting to note that, and it's ironic, that some secular philosophers have said that clouds symbolize meaningless in life. But the scriptures seem to indicate that the purpose of life can be really found in the cloud. Especially the idea of the Christ-centered life. Many have tried to imagine what that looked like. God in a cloud. Think about it. Use your godly imagination for a moment. God in a cloud. Incredible to think about. And so in Exodus 16 and 10, we learn that the glory of the Lord was manifested in a cloud. And the Jewish encyclopedia, if you want to look at something interesting, look at some of the writings, the rabbinic literature and the Jewish encyclopedia. It says that when Israel was marching in the wilderness, Yahweh wrapped himself in the pillar of a cloud and led the people in order to show them the right way. In order to show them the right way. How many people believe that God's going to show you all the right way? Amen. He's still the cloud, and he's here tonight. Praise his awesome and mighty name. And during the night, the cloud turned into a pillar of fire. And on one occasion, the pillar moved behind the Israelites in order to shield them from the pursuing Egyptians. What did this glory actually look like? You know, a cloud of a fire? Not absolutely certain because we haven't seen it. But the Jews called this the Shekinah, which is the feminine form for the word Shekan, which means to dwell or to inhabit. The presence of the Lord was inhabited in a cloud. Isn't that interesting to consider? God's presence leading you in a cloud. I think that's amazing. The word cloud in Hebrew is the word anan, A-N-A-N, and which simply means cloud. However, this word is also the root for the word for diviner or miracle worker. Diviner or miracle worker. You know, there's miracles in the cloud. There's grace in the cloud. There's freedom in the cloud. There's salvation in the cloud. The word spelled in one place, it's spelled A-Y-I-N-N-U-N. Ayin Nun. And in this text, it's spelled Ayin Nun Nun. And the use of these letters is very interesting because it means, this is what it means now, the cloud. Ayin Nun Nun. It means spiritual insight through faith. Spiritual insight through faith. And because the word nun is used twice, nun, nun, it's used doubly. It suggests and means that this spiritual insight is through faith and faith alone. Through faith and through faith alone. Spiritual insight, where does it come from? Well, it does not come through man's teaching, although it can help. It does not come through study, but God can use that. It's saying that ultimately our spiritual insight comes from faith and faith alone. This is important. When Moses entered the cloud or the Anan, he entered into the deep spiritual understanding. God was revealing himself to him. And I want to tell you, the cloud is still there today for us to enter, but we must enter by faith and faith alone to receive from God spiritual insight. The people of Israel did not want to enter the cloud. The Bible says they were afraid. They were afraid to enter the deep understanding of God. They said, don't talk to us. Let Moses talk to us for you. Our understanding of God comes not through the teachings of man or our personal Bible study, although these things, again, are good and God can use this. But ultimately, our understanding of God comes from our intimacy with him. It comes from our intimacy with him. My wife, Rosette, is the one person who knows the thinking of a guy named Billy Legg. She knows my thinking. She is the one expert who could explain most of my thoughts. She knows my thinking because she has a love relationship with me. And the author of this great book we call the Bible, the author of the book, could reveal his secrets to Moses because he entered the presence of God. He entered by faith. I'm sure he maybe felt as terrified as everybody else did. But his faith drove him to want God more than anything else. and want to understand. And he went by faith. He entered by faith. Moses loved the author, and so God, the author, revealed his inner secrets to Moses. And so too, the more we love God, the more he will reveal his secrets to us in his book. The more time you spend with him, the more you wait on God, he will reveal himself to you. I believe that hasn't changed any since I started. So too, the more we love God, the more he will reveal his secrets to us in his book. And so too, the more we enter the cloud or the Anan by faith alone, the very presence of God, the more we will know him. It's interesting that the word Shekinah is a feminine form. The Shekinah glory of God represents his feminine nature in the sense that that part of him that's soft and caring and gentle and nourishing. Aren't you glad God is that way? Israel did not experience the cloud until after the Passover, when they were covered by the blood. And praise God, our great Passover took place, and we now enter his presence. We enter it cleansed by the blood of Jesus. This is why it's so important to know our identity. We're singing about it tonight. To know the power of Calvary, to know the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the price that was paid put us in such right standing with God that we are invited into the Holy of Holies. We are invited into the cloud. We are invited to experience God, his intimacy. So we enter his presence. We enter it cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we do not enter his presence with condemnation or fear of punishment, but we are allowed to enter into his loving arms guilt-free. We talked about that a little bit tonight. We enter his presence guilt-free. As a young Christian man, I wasn't the kid they thought in youth group was most likely to become a pastor. Not at all. When I walked my first time in church, I was sharing it with Will and Anne-Marie last night. When I first went to church, my first time in church, ever in evangelical church, I'd already given my heart to the Lord. I made a commitment, but the pastor, I had never been in a church. This was a little Pentecostal church. The pastor preached on meaning business with God. I was sitting in the back. I had a denim jacket with a painting on the back of it. It said, smoke Colombian, and had a chief smoking a pipe. And my hair was way down my back, and he gave the altar call, and I was the only one to go up that altar, and I knelt down. The pastor sent his son over, and he prayed with me and led me again into the sinner's prayer, and I made a public profession of faith, and the pastor, his name is Solon White, looked down, and he said, praise God, this young lady gave her heart to the Lord tonight. That was me. That was my first introduction to the church. But God was so good. But God began to work in my life, and I began to understand the grace and goodness of God, how he can redeem us. And I struggled. My first year as a Christian, I struggled. I had a hard time getting off of the drugs and off that, out of that scene. And finally, God was so patient, used Jamie's brother Wayne in a great way, his mom and dad, also a couple other people in my life who stood there with me and supported me and invited me into their homes and taught the word of God to me and spoke into my life. You know, it's important to have those kind of people. Amen? People who are in the cloud. People who know the presence of God, touching other people. And that's what happened in my life. I would not be here today without the church. I wouldn't have had over 40 years of ministry. We planted a number of churches, and God has just blessed us in so many ways. And it wouldn't have happened but for those people. They said yes, like Noah mentioned tonight. They said yes, and they were willing to take us under their wing and take me under their wing. And God was so good. When I got saved, my mother got saved. I was raised in the Catholic Church, went through Catholic school, went through my first communion and all that business, said the rosary with my mom as a child, and then drifted away. And my mom went to church and got radically saved. She got way more saved than I was. There's such a thing. She was so committed. And then we went to a prayer meeting, and she got baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. I was still not sure about that kind of thing, but she was all in. And it was amazing. She was walking in the prophetic. She was having God speak to her, and she was bringing groceries to people and doing all these things. And then one day, Rosette and I was standing out there with her in the edge of the driveway, and Rosette and Maynard were walking up the hill. And I said, you know, I kind of like Rosette. That's Jamie's sister I married. And my mom looked at me and said, the Lord just told me, you're going to go to Bible college, you're going to become a minister, and you're going to marry Rosette Chant. She went down, she said, I'm going to go down and tell his mom, her mom, that. I said, Mom, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, she not only told her, she told everybody, you know. And I still, you know, wasn't fully changed yet, but Buda said when she told Buda, Jamie's mom, Buda went, oh, I don't think so, Elizabeth. But God, in his goodness, 5 years later, man, we were engaged, and we were walking down the street, and we were running into people in different places. Your mom said this. Your mom said this. God is so good. We don't live under condemnation anymore. We have access into the holiest place through the blood of Jesus. And he changes us, thank God. And he invites us into the cloud. It's a place of miracles. You don't have to fear the cloud. It's a place where God does the miraculous. Transformation always happens in the cloud. And we're talking about the intimate presence of God. Change takes place. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God is the author of changing us, transforming our lives. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God is in the business of changing people. And this is a description of intimacy in that text. You and me, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. We enter the cloud. We can see the glory of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the blessing of God. I had no vision for anything like that when I was a young man. Didn't have any vision that I could be changed or be anything. But God, in his goodness, in his love, in his mercy, we enter the cloud and we behold his glory and his face, and he shows us what we can be and reveals to us his plan. We thank God for that. So it's a description of intimacy, going into God's presence, his transforming power, changing our lives from one degree to another. God is working on the transformation today of his church from glory to glory. It happens through faith in Jesus. And with this faith, we enter the cloud of intimacy with God by faith and faith alone. You got to believe it. What's going to move us from glory to glory? It's faith. You've got to step out and believe God for it. You got to go after it. You got to say, yes, I'm taking the step of faith. I want intimacy with God. I'm tired of the mundane. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of just struggling along. I'm going for intimacy. Satan and the kingdom of darkness, their goal is to defile. 2 Peter 2:10 and 20 says that their aim is to stain with the color that you stain glass with. That's the original language. It's mia eno. To stain with the color you stain glass. You see through it distorted. It's to besmirch as with mud or filth. And what it's talking about is the act of defiling resulting from the pollution and the contamination of the world. And that's what the enemy's plan is. He's trying to do for the church. This is why we're seeing the crazy things we're seeing today. This is why we're seeing what we're seeing today, all the madness. How many people know there's a lot of madness going on? Well, he's doing this to try to affect the image of the church. He hates the image of God in us. This is why we need the cloud of his presence. We are invited into the cloud. We are invited into this intimacy, into the presence of God by faith and faith alone. And what we have is much better than what Moses had. Much better than what the prophets had. It's been purchased and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. It's a whole different world. We're in a spiritual realm that they could not attain to. But God has opened the door and he invites us to come into this intimacy with him, to draw near him. He said, if you draw near me, I will draw near to you. It's an invitation. You will not be disappointed. God won't fail us. God will bless us and strengthen us. It says we are changed into the same image by entering the cloud. Remember what happened to Moses? His face shone, the Bible says. His skin was shiny because of being in the presence of God. He was changed. It was transformative. The word changed is the word metamorpho, denoting a change of condition. And then we see the word morpho, which means to form, used of Jesus in the transfiguration on the mount, involving the miracle of transformation from earthly to supernatural. And that's what God has begun in us. The work of the Spirit in us is going to take us from being transformed here, like we are right now, into total supernatural transformation. I think we're going to be shining like Jesus did on the Mount. The idea of transformation refers to the invisible change in Christians that's on the inside, which takes place and begins during our life in this age. And this is just the beginning. We are being changed into a supernatural image, like Jesus on the Mount with Moses in the wilderness. And in both cases, the cloud appeared, and God was in the cloud. The miracle cloud that you can enter by faith and faith alone, and you receive supernatural insight that transforms you. I want to encourage you tonight to move toward intimacy like you do here every Sunday. As we get intimate with God, he reveals his truth and blessings to us even more and more. Moses and Jesus entered the cloud. Moses on Mount Sinai, Jesus, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I love that story. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up high to the mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good that we are here? If you wish, I will make three tents. And behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud and said, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. It was a cloud that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they were invited into intimacy with God to be changed. To be changed today, we need to go up to the mountain with Jesus, to enter the cloud and watch what he will do in our lives. Wherever Jesus is, there the cloud will be. Entering the cloud leads us in our culture to where God wants us to go. We will go in the right direction if we enter the cloud. And we need that in this day and age. The cloud in the rabbinical literature, I just want to read you a couple of things. It's absolutely amazing. This is historical things that were passed down by word of mouth and what they wrote. And it really speaks of the transforming, the leading, the protecting, and the preserving of the presence of God. And this is the same thing for us today. Transforming, leading, protecting, and preserving. This is the presence, the Shekinah. And the rabbinic literature says this. I'm going to read you a couple of things. One place it says in the Haggadah, it says, I place the children of Israel in tents. And the word Sukkot comes, it means literally tents. And it was a city named that, Sukkot. And what happened was they reported the Israelites were surrounded. The reason they named it wasn't literal, wasn't tents. It was tents of the cloud. Now these are Jewish writings. The Israelites were surrounded with clouds for protection, and the name of the city was Sukkot, as the place where they were covered with clouds. Another thing it mentions, there was not one cloud, but seven clouds of glory, and having accompanied Israel on its march through the desert, and one was on each side of the four sides, and one was above, and one was below, and one was in front of these four. And according to another passage, there were even 13 clouds, two of each on each side, two above, two below, and one in front. Others again speak of only four or of the two. But the cloud in front, listen to this. This is what these ancient writers said. The cloud in front prepared the way by leveling the heights and depths of the ground, killing the snakes, and making the way pleasant. These clouds of glory prevented their garments of the Israelites from becoming soiled or worn during the 40 years in the wilderness. Isn't that incredible to think? We wonder how their clothes or shoes didn't wear away. It was because the glory of God was all around them. Now, the glory of God is all around Israel in those days. I want to tell you, the church, the glory of God is all around the church. He's all around us. But you only enter that by faith and faith alone. When we focus on the negative, when we focus on the things of life that seem to oppose us or discourage us, it's so easy to lose sight of the fact that we are surrounded by the glory of God. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's walking with us. This is a pretty neat thing too. That was 40 years in the wilderness. Man being surrounded by the visible cloud of God. Leveling the road for you as you go. Making it easy so your bottoms of your skirt or whatever you wore in those days didn't wear out, didn't get soiled, didn't get dirty. Amazing. But a neat thing was, I looked at this, the pillar of cloud, they said. The pillar of cloud had the name, where is it at here? I'm looking for it. Yeah. The pillar of the cloud had the name of Yahweh written on it. That's another thing they wrote and said. Incredible. The transforming, leading, protecting, preserving power of the presence. Thank God this church is a presence-focused church. The presence of God is what's going to take us through. His presence and being in His presence, entering the cloud, intimacy with God. That's what transforms our lives. That's what changes us in the deepest places of our heart. Where it looks like some people, we wonder, what's God going to do today? I believe we're going to see some of the greatest things in the history of the church. I really do. God, I believe, is going to do incredible things. Entering the cloud will lead us in the way that we need to go in this culture that we're seeing today. The coming cloud of revival. I really believe there's going to be one. Acts 2 and 17, he said, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants, female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revival will come from the presence through a church that enters the cloud in faith and faith alone. You know, we went through a bit of persecution, our church. And through it, we grew like crazy. It was amazing. We decided after the lockdown started, after a little while, but a month in or so, we realized the curve wasn't changing. And when they said the church was insignificant, basically, or the church was non-essential, when I read that online, when that first came out for our province in Nova Scotia and in Canada, the church is non-essential. Well, the pot stores were essential, and the Walmart was essential, and the liquor stores were essential, but the church is non-essential. God spoke to me. That is from a demonic voice from hell. That is the spirit of Antichrist saying the church is non-essential. And we decided right then and there that we're not doing this. We said we're going to open. And that's exactly what we did. And I heard of a freedom rally. We went downtown to the freedom rally. There's about 7 veterans there. And through that meeting, me standing there, singing, I think I sang a song or something. And the trouble persecutions kind of started for us with an Antifa guy. Anyway, but it was amazing what God did, because people started coming to church from the freedom rallies. All kinds of people. They just moved down from all over the country. They were looking for the truth. They were looking for God. They were astounded by what they were terrified at what was going on. They just knew something wasn't right. And man, we had whole families coming to faith together. It was incredible. We set up a parallel structure in our church. You didn't have to wear masks. We were going to be different than what was going on the outside, so people could keep a grasp on reality. And so to know what real freedom is, you got to go back to it. You got to remember. You know, we are forgetful beings sometimes. And so the idea of setting up a parallel structure is we're going to have normality in church. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to have food. You don't have to wear a mask. And we're going to declare the word of God. We're having church. And we did. And God began to pour out his spirit. And just families coming to the Lord. Individual being saved and delivered and set free. And God brought all kinds of people with different issues. You know, and I believe this is what's going to happen coming up. We are going to see the greatest harvest of souls, I really believe. And you're going to see people come into the church like trans people. These are the people that we need to be ready for. The LGBTQ, whatever they're called, group, and all the alphabet behind them. We need to get ready with the truth, because they're going to be coming. Many of them are going to be coming. God is a God of deliverance and power. We need to be in the cloud of revival, the cloud of awakening. And I'm going to end with this little story. I had an encounter with God. We went on a 21-day fast just after we got in our building, and we started seeking the Lord and waiting on God. I was asking the Lord to show me what he wanted us to do, the direction he wanted us to go. And in the third day of this time of seeking the Lord, the fasting, Rosa and I went to sleep. And all of a sudden, I'm in this dream. And in this dream, I'm back at the city of Moncton because I'd preached there the year before. And I'm staying at somebody's house. We're in a, you know, the glass place that looks out. What do you call them? A glass section. You could, like a patio covered in glass. Anyway, that's what we're looking out. A sunroom. And I'm looking out of the sunroom at the backyard. It went about 60 feet. And at the edge of the backyard, there's a massive wheat field. It's huge. It's as far as the eye could see. You can see a little shade of a row of trees on either side, but it just went forever. And I'm thinking to myself, my own kind of little bit of ego, I'm thinking, gee, we must have done great at that last service. They're having us back again. And I'm looking out at the field, and all of a sudden, a part of the field is reaped. It disappears. And it shocked me. It jolted me. And I heard the voice of God. This is what he said to me. He said, Bill, you're now having a prophetic dream. You're now having a prophetic dream. And so I was locked in then. I was looking, and all of a sudden, another section was reaped. And then another section was reaped. And all of a sudden, this massive cloud. And this is what made me research this message a little bit, was this cloud. It was humongous. It was awesome looking. It was enormous. And it was partly thunder looking cloud, but it moved over the whole field. And I'm just watching this thing. And all of a sudden, boom, the whole field was lifted. There was not a grain of wheat left in that on the ground, not one. The whole field was reaped. And then I heard some screaming, but I wasn't afraid. I looked back, and what I saw was, have you ever seen the old, monster from the Green Lagoon or whatever? And the posters, the person, the girls are like this, screaming. That's what I saw. And I woke up. And I woke Rosette up. I just had a dream from God. And I began to tell it to her. And the Lord spoke to me that the greatest outpouring in history is coming. It's going to start in places, different locations, maybe small locations. It's going to start individually, and it's going to be noticeable. Noticeable. And then God is going to pour out the greatest outpouring in history. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God's doing. He is not done yet. Don't let anybody tell you he is. Don't let anybody tell you it's not going to get any better or whatever. God is going to do great things, and he's preparing a church for these days. And it's a church that knows they got to go into the cloud. They have to experience intimacy with God and watch what God will do. Can you say amen? Do you believe that? Are you willing to go into the cloud? Do you want to enter the cloud? Intimacy with God. I want you to stand with me if you would. I want to pray for you. I hope you got what I was saying tonight. I had a kind of presentation, kind of a little bit different going off like that, but I hope you got it. God wants to pour out his spirit upon us in this day. He wants intimacy with us more than anything else. And that is only received through faith and faith alone. If you got it by anything else, it won't happen. It can't be by your feelings or by your emotions or it's by faith. You may feel the worst you've ever felt in your life right now as a Christian. Now is the best time to go for intimacy. Now is the time. You may be doing wonderful. You may be having a great day and week and year, but this is the time to go for intimacy. It's by faith and faith alone. And God will not fail you. He will not disappoint you. He will not leave you empty. He will fill you with His grace and power. And He will use you for these days in which we're living. The church is needed now more than ever. We are needed. We are needed. You're so important. You're so vital to God's plan. You are so special to God's plan. Everyone here has a special place in the kingdom of God. God wants to use you. I want you to do this with me tonight, if you would. I want you to just put your hands out like you're receiving a gift from the Lord. Father in heaven, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who took our sins in His own body on the tree. Thank you for your love supreme, God. Thank you, Lord. And thank you that we were drawn to you by cords of love, not by condemnation. We were drawn because you loved us so much. And you invited us into your kingdom and to be a part. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we come to you because we know in these days and for all time, we desire intimacy, Lord. We want you, oh God. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit fresh and anew. We need new outpourings of your goodness and power. But Lord, I'm making the step today. I'm making the step for intimacy. I'm making the step. I want to love you more, know you more, know you deeper, Lord. And I thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, change me, transform me. Let my life shine with your glory and goodness. Thank you for what you have planned in my life. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to do well, be well, and finish well. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the souls that you're going to bring in this place from the north, south, east, and west. Thank you for the encounters that are going to happen here, Lord. Lord, thank you for the infillings of your Spirit, the miracles of healing and signs and wonders, the miracles of provision and blessing. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we look to you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we receive in the name of Jesus. We receive the gift of intimacy. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Jesus. I'm entering the holy place. I'm going there, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You've made it possible for me. You've done it, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Noah.